Welcome to the National Center for Science Education podcast. This podcast was recorded September 27, 2005, in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, referring to events at the Kitzmiller et al. Versus Dover Area School District trial currently being held in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. In this podcast, you'll hear Eugenie C. Scott and Nick Motzke of NCSE discussing testimony given by Ken Miller of Brown University, testifying for the plaintiffs.
So then Vic brought Ken back to the Dover policy here. I mean, this was a fun little science lesson, but it's, again, in the service of showing the law here. And, again, to criticize the Dover policy, which presents evolution as chance, as evolution as weak science, and so forth, just to show how the policy is just flat wrong. He also commented on the erroneous just a theory, theory not fact kind of wording of the policy, which went in for quite a bit of good solid treatment. Then he shifted to the Pandas and People book, which of course is also part of the Dover case because it was required. Well, there was an argument of whether it would be required, but many copies of it exist in Dover, and the intent of the school board was that students should look at it and therefore learn about intelligent design. And Ken did a very, very good job of showing how that Chapter 6, which is the biochemical challenge to evolution, is just full of absolute junk science. He did a really, really good job showing how the information in Pandas and People about the clotting system was just flat wrong, and that, in fact, the clotting system could evolve this one technically complicated little mechanism that supposedly, according to irreducible complexity theory, is impossible to evolve, but doesn't look like it.
Yes, and the other examples that Ken dealt with were from Pandas were the there's an argument about molecular equidistance. And just type that into Google if you're wondering about it. I won't go into it in detail, but it's something that's bothered us creationism watchers for an awfully long time. The argument is originated, as far as I know, with Michael Denton in the 1985 book, and then it appeared in Of Pandas and People in both editions. And so Ken beat up on that for a while. Then he did blood clotting, which is Michael Behe's irreducible complexity argument, which appears in Pandas in 1993. People often think that Behe got into this business in 1996 with his book Darwin's Black Box, but he actually wrote a large section of Chapter 6 of the 1993 Pandas and People book, and in it he included his blood clotting example, and that was addressed primarily by showing how certain modern organisms lack big chunks of the clotting pathway, which is something that Pandas, via Behe, says cannot happen, that all the parts are required. And finally, he addressed the origin of information argument. And Pandas says again and again that the information in DNA must have been written by an intelligent designer. And this is a classic creationist argument. And Ken refuted it in a very simple way. He referred to a recent paper in Nature Reviews Genetics that shows how new information originates, how new genes originate. He put up one of the tables from that paper that shows the mechanisms. The paper then goes on to cite 20-some examples of the origin of new genes, and it continues by citing a large amount of articles, research articles, and so Ken sort of explained the difference between review articles and research articles.
And that's a very important thing because, of course, one of the criticisms of intelligent design is that the proponents do not make their argument to the scientific and scholarly public. They basically are making their argument through books and op-eds and other popularly written topics. And Ken, I think, handled that very nicely because he has written a popular book. His Finding Darwin's God book he described as not a scientific book, although it deals with science, and comparable to books like Darwin's Black Box and The Design Inference, in that they were books which were not sent out for the kind of peer review that one associates with a scientific journal, for example, which presents original research. And I think that's a tough concept to get across to the general public, but I think he did a very good job on that. It's not that books like Darwin's Black Box or Finding Darwin's God are not worth reading, but they're different from the kinds of original research that get published in scientific journals with peer review, which are really much more important than a book, even though that doesn't fit with most people's view.
Since we're on this point, I believe this came up in cross-examination that Darwin's Origin of Species was a book. And this this is a common argument that you hear from creationists, which is that, oh, well, Darwin's Origin of Species was a book, and was that peer-reviewed? And Kenneth Miller replied quite correctly that while Darwin's Origin of Species summarized Darwin's conclusions in his work, he had previously published many research papers. You know, they didn't quite have the formal peer review system back in the 1800s, mm-hmm. but there were, in England, there was a developing scientific community, and they had journals like the Linnaean Society mm-hmm. and the Royal Society. And Darwin's idea of natural selection was actually first presented to his scientific peers in public in 1858 in a paper that was delivered with a letter from Alfred Russel Wallace, who had also come up with the same idea and sort of forced Darwin to publish his idea at the same time. So that was a minor point, but one that is...
Well, it was still interesting that it came up. There was I thought that Ken did a really, really good job on the fallacy of the analogy of human artifacts. John loves Mary, scratched in the sand, is something that comes up in Pandas and People, and it's used a lot in general by intelligent design people.
It's like the Mount Rushmore argument.
Mount Rushmore,
yes.
Yeah. And Vic Walsack led Ken through that very nicely. He said, well, you know, here we have in Pandas and People this John loves Mary written in the sand, and we look at this and we know this was done by an intelligence. We know that this was done with cause. And why can't we say that DNA, which is also a complicated kind of thing, is the same sort of thing? Why can't we look at that? And Ken did a really good job on that, on why that analogy, that artifactual, as it were, analogy is wrong. He pointed out, first of all, first thing wrong with it is that John loved Mary scratched in the sand, or Mount Rushmore, he could have said, too. Can't replicate. It's not alive. It cannot recombine. It cannot act like a living thing. So right off the bat, some human product like an artifact is not analogous to a living thing right away. It's not like biology. But secondly, if we see John loves Mary scratched in the sand, we know that a human being made this because we are familiar with the kinds of things human beings do, and human beings do things like that. We have a pretty good idea of how that was made, probably with a stick or some other pointed object. And we also are familiar, we also can infer that John Loves Mary was written by a human being because we've observed these sorts of things. And then he just nailed it. I mean, he really did. He said, in referring or inferring a designer for DNA is not parallel to that whatsoever, because we do not know who the designer is, we do not know what mechanism the designer used, and we've never observed it. I mean, it was just bam, 1, 2, 3.
There's no limitations on this designer. So.
But I think the judge got it. You know, I think this was just so clear. Certainly the people in the audience, there would seem to be kind of an aha. Most of the audience, by the way, for this first day, were plaintiffs on both sides. I mean, we had almost all 11 plaintiffs, I think, on our
side. Reporters.
And tons of reporters.
Yes.
That seemed to be the biggest group.
And some spectators, including several friends that we knew from Pennsylvania. What else did Ken Miller discuss? We should probably not go through everything because
this will take as long as he did.
He took a day. Yeah, he took an entire day to testify.
It was not just a highlight to me. Something I wrote a little heart in the margin about is that he pointed out that the errors in Pandas and People were not just, you know, made a mistake in the presentation of hemoglobin or something. He pointed out that the errors in Pandas and People were systematic. That all of the errors led you to the same mistaken conclusion, which is that evolution is weak theory or can't be explained through natural cause, hence you can only explain these phenomena through an intelligent cause.